Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Chase in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane. This game is over. How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who have never dropped a Matthew Stafford pass, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is episode 114. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I'm your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
Good, Chris. I watched Indecent Proposal over the weekend again, and I've just been trying to think of what I would do for $1 million or whatever sum of money. I'm just trying to parse it out.
Yeah, no, it's always important to plan. It's always important to plan for the future. In today's show, we're going to talk about the sweetest tweet stream you've ever heard of. We're going to talk about Ziggy and how close he is to being back. The topic comes up, how dateable is Case? What might it cost? Matthew Stafford, and we're going to talk about him. And there's no contract speculation in this week's chat, so it's a good listen. We got a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Case, are you ready to go, my man?
So far, the list of things I would do is a lot longer than the list of things I wouldn't.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, it's time to talk about the announcements very quickly. First, fantasy football, it's closed. The leagues are full. You missed your chance, and that's that, folks. Lots of football coming up, but for those that are in, get ready, buckle up. You're going to be playing against me. You're going to be playing against Case. We got a whole bunch of people in there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure to get it on. And if you're feeling a little concerned, which you should with Case's guile and tact and amazing skills and my ability to smack people down, just sheer power, you might want to check out those IDP guys. They have a new podcast. They just dropped another episode yesterday, and that's at youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Check out the IDP guys. They're your fantasy helpers. They'll give you a good shot at how you can maybe even have a sliver of a chance against Case or I. Make sure to check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
That's right. Yeah. And you can play fantasy football against him because he's in the league as well. Also, Michael, Matthew, Eric, Lucas, Joel, Nick, Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Justin, John, Rand, Moss, Matt, Morgan, Randy, Peter, Matt G, Kalen, Scott, Joel, Greg, Marcus, Lucas, Danny, David, Richard, Bryce, Chuck Nasty, Jason, Fight Me, Case, Mike K, Floundericious, and of course, our very first donor, Mathis. Also, we want to call out our newest patrons, Jenna, Miak, and Malcolm. Thank you guys. Thank you all and ladies for donating and helping us out via Patreon. If you would like to join these folks, head to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on that Patreon link. Set yourself up for a monthly donation. We appreciate everybody. And we're only weeks away from the new studio being set up. I got painters, carpet, movers, and we're going. So it's coming in the next 3 weeks. We're live. It's going to be great. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Make sure you like that page, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And on the Twitter machine at DET Lions Podcast. That's at DET Lions Podcast. It is the best place to see Case.
I would take my pants off for $1 million.
Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. Those reviews are helpful. The review count didn't go up that much this week, so you are going to be hit with a dramatic read during the show. Get there. Do those reviews. Let people know. 5 stars. Let them know what you think of the show so that they know what they're getting into when they listen. Don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or give us a call on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. That's 929-335-4667. leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And my favorite news of the week is late-breaking here, right before the show is recorded. But Ziggy Ansah was running on the sidelines at practice today. That's from Flapjack Sanders. Dude, this is a crucial part of this team's success this year. In retrospect, I am worried that we threw so many eggs into one basket and that he's such a linchpin, but him being back or starting to move, jogging around like that's really, really good news, isn't it, Case?
Especially, I mean, with the comparatively high hopes that I have for the rest of our defensive line, surprisingly high hopes. Now, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself on that either, but they just look better than I expected them to. If Ansah's back and 100%, we could be seeing night and day from what we got last year. We could be seeing contributions from guys who were not last year at all. Similarly, Nada sounds like he's doing well, this is one of those, like, I don't know situations. I may have mentioned this. I think I did a couple weeks ago, but where I'm not really sure if last year was a fluke for him, because it was, you know, kind of like it was probably easily his worst season as a pro. And whether or not that was due to some injuries or a fluke in one way or another, and if he would bounce back at all this year, I didn't know. But I certainly think that's possible. But Ziggy, you know, coming back with improved hopes for the defensive line as a whole would totally take us out of the basement of the league. I'm not expecting, you know, an above average defensive line, but would take us out of the basement of the league in terms of, you know, pass rush and ability to disrupt opponents off the line, so we don't have to put so damn much pressure on our secondary and our linebackers.
Sure. And yeah, it's key piece of that defense is in Ziggy, and it's great to have him back. And hopefully, you know, these ankles are such a mess. He was dealing with it last year. I would like to see a year. I think this would be only our second year of an injury-free Ziggy if he could stay injury-free this year. I'd like to see a whole season come in. It's one of those, you know, it's getting to that point where as great as he is, you start to say availability is part of the equation of a great player. And I'd love to see more availability out of him this year. So hope is high. On the Haloti Ngata piece, I just, one of the things we saw at training camp when the guys were practicing before the first preseason game and before the mock game they did, Haloti Ngata has leaned out huge. I mean, he didn't give birth to a baby. He gave birth to a small child in the off season, and he looked faster. He looked more powerful. He looked like a completely different guy on the field down there. I'm expecting really, really big things from him, even if he hasn't, you know, gotten better or even fallen off a little bit. The amount of weight that guy's dropped, his movement and strength is just going to be so much more. I think that will compensate for anything he may have lost in age this year. He really, really looked good out there.
Yeah, and he's making the transition from the Baltimore defense to the Lions defense, and he was essentially a nose tackle, you know, in Baltimore, where he's more of a, you know, a traditional defensive tackle here in Detroit, and that doesn't require quite the same amount of bulk, and having him able to push the pocket a little bit more is really, you know, what we would like to see out of him. So a little bit leaner is definitely the right move, hopefully for you know, his fortunes this year. And I still say, you know, I'm still confused why we kept him in the first place, when I think there were probably less expensive and similar level, you know, guys available, maybe not quite as good. Although, again, unless he bounced back from last year. Point being, we've got him, and if we've got him, we want him to be making steps towards contributing to the team, not just, you know, playing, you know, not just cashing in a check, you know, at the end of his career kind of situations.
Yeah. Playing NFL caliber football, but not at, you know, not a caliber football. Right.
Right.
We want him playing his best. So for sure. And, you know, as kind of a little bit of a segue here. You know, we give you our best. We give you everything we got every week. We get this great site with some pretty amazing writing, or just putting out some great content, but we've added something to the website here, and we really want you guys to check this out. It's something different than what we've seen in other places, and we think this is helpful for a lot of people out there. You know, Twitter is a hell of a resource. It's a great resource. I at first didn't like it so much. I know, Case, you absolutely are in love with it, right?
I'm not a huge Twitter fan. There are times in the year where it's useful for me, like free agency and the draft, but overall, it's not my favorite.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of people like that. I've warmed to it, and I really enjoy it. I'm not great at it. One of the things, you know, with our Twitter, I interact with people here and there and do it when I have availability. But, you know, you look at some of these guys, they are maniacs. They're great, and they can work Twitter much, much better than I can and will probably ever have the time to do. But one of the things is it is a great, great source of information. And one of the problems with it is the way they mess with your timeline and what you see sometimes. They throw in case you missed it in the middle of, you know, things you're watching.
I hate that crap.
Yeah. And you just want, like, there's people, we know you're out there. You'd be interested in Twitter if you could just see what Lions players said, right? Or you could just get Lions news. And that really kind of struck us as something that's kind of an unmet need out there. So we put together a tweet stream. And we've got one page that's strictly Lions players. We've got all the Lions players' tweets, Twitter handles built in, and their tweets come through. And it displays the latest tweets from all the players. So if something's happening and you want to see their reactions, it's all right there. And we also have one built out for Lions media, the beat writers and so on, so that as things happen throughout the day, you know, there's a practice going on, that kind of thing. Those guys who are so awesome at Twitter and have so much information, we amalgamate all that data and all those tweets on a single page without all the other stuff that flies across Twitter, the political stuff and all the other stuff that really is kind of a distraction from maybe what you're looking for. So hopefully you guys like it. It's at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. And there's a new button on the menu. It's called Get Social. We're going to use this a lot when it comes time for free agency and the draft. You're going to see we're going to put together a number of draft nicks, people who are really good at this stuff and have great information. We'll have a page there so you can see all the latest trends and rumors and so on in the draft. And there's a couple other ways we'll use it throughout the season. But check it out, DetroitLionsPodcast.com on the Get Social page. It's going to evolve. We're phase one now. A lot of really good stuff. And frankly, I'd look to see other people follow this lead because I think this is something that is a great unmet need for our fans and listeners and folks that are interested in the Lions out there.
Okay, yeah, like I said, absolutely, during the draft, during free agency, it'd be great for me to be able to, you know, collect all my news in one spot there and keep up to date with it without, then I wouldn't even have to worry about going on Twitter if I didn't want to. Anyway, no, I think it's a great tool, so.
Yeah, for sure. That's one of the things I think, you know, Twitter can be a pain, and I think being able to mine the useful stuff for folks and do the work for them is a big plus. All right, so we'll move on to the next topic. We got the Detroit Lions fans are named the second most dateable fan base among NFL fans. That's from Funny Penguin. According to the article, Case, it's because they're sobbing drunks and wind up divorced. That's why they're the most dateable. Or did I misread that?
No, that sounds about right. It says here's a few possibilities: a willingness to forgive someone for routinely letting you down and disappointing you on a consistent basis, being able to overlook serious character flaws in the hopes that you can change them or they'll change on their own, always looking for the positive in life despite overwhelming evidence that things are terrible. Being able to laugh at themselves, low expectations of what constitutes a fulfilling relationship.
Oh my goodness. This is, yeah. The joke has also often been made, and I don't want to make jokes about spousal abuse because it's not funny, but it is the relationship of an abused spouse with the Lions, right? They've talked about it for many years. I don't think it's as true as it used to be. And again, it's not necessarily a funny topic at all. But in the case of this team, it's a little bit of gallows humor, right? It's about all we had for a long, long time. But things are looking up, and maybe we'll get all taken, and we won't be dateable anymore. We'll be off the market, Case.
I'm going from a 4 to a 5, Chris.
I'll be the judge of that. All right, next. Stephen Tulloch told me he's visiting the Lions later this week. to work with linebackers, not playing, just coaching and mentoring. That's from Mudus and Matic. It's great. I you know, Stephen Tulloch was always a class guy. He was always one of those guys you loved to see play. Loved him on the field. He, unfortunately, towards the end of his career with the injury and some of the other stuff going on, and it ended on just a sourish note, and that stunk for a guy who was so great and such a great Detroit guy when he was here. It's awesome to see him come back, and I think he has a lot to offer.
Yeah, and on another tack from that, it's good to see a former player who, you know, wants to be around the franchise right now. with all the stuff with Calvin and with Levy and stuff, people were starting to ask questions about, you know, why, you know, do players dislike the team and, you know, that kind of thing. And I don't think that's true. I think we're looking at like, Levy's got his, you know, his grievances with the, you know, medical situation, and I can't really blame him without knowing the details, and you know, we only, you know, get it from his point of view, so I don't want to go too far into that, but like I can't necessarily blame him, but I don't think that he hates the franchise at least I haven't picked up on that. Calvin obviously has his issues, but that seems to be like a monetary / you know, contract issue. It's just good to have, you know, a little bit of proof that not every ex-player hates the Lions, and hopefully a beginning to putting that, you know, myth to bed.
For sure. And Tully was one of the, you know, all three of those guys are guys that you talk about. You really loved them as players and people. They really were good guys. And it hurts a little bit to see the ugly side of the business kind of peeking its way out. So Stephen Tulloch, hats off. Salute to you, man. Awesome to have you come back and hang out with the team and not hate not hate the organization. Shows that it's an all right place. All right. You know, with all that kind of stuff, players change, things go get different, and you want to get yourself your latest jersey. What do you do, Case?
I put it on my Christmas list. go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. And I write that on the Christmas list for my wife. Go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com.
I thought you were hinting to me. Boy. All right. Yeah. Head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You can hook yourself up with some great jerseys. You know, we made the toaster joke, but if Ziggy doesn't come back, you might need extra toasters. Mm-hmm. All kinds of great stuff there from Fanatics and also Amazon. If you do any of your shopping at Amazon, that's the way to do it. And lastly, if you want to buy tickets to any kind of event, head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on that shop link. All those things are things that you do with regularity. Do it in a way that helps the show. You're going to do it anyway. Help us out along the way. It doesn't ever cost you more. Sometimes you can get a discount on some of these things based on how many people come along and help out. You just click on it, no pop-ups, no funny stuff. It just takes you right to the site and sends a little cookie to say, hey, I like the Detroit Lions podcast. Give them a little kickback based on that sale. Thank you, everyone who's been doing it so far. Everyone else, again, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on that shop link and go to town. All right, let's move on to Amir, to Fear Amir Abdullah on Twitter. This is an interesting topic. And before I dive into it too much, you know, we've made a commitment and we continue to hold to that commitment. Just talk sports, just talk football, just talk Lions. The political things are not things that we choose to cover. We don't purport to be smart enough to tell you what to think politically. And frankly, it's a very personal thing, and injecting ourselves into something personal would be a stupid move, in our opinion. So that being said, we're going to touch on a little topic here that it kind of skirts around that a little bit. So bear with us and, you know, don't get angry because we're not espousing any kind of political views in any way. Amir Abdullah on Twitter says, telling me to keep quiet on political issues and just focus on sports is like me telling you to commit suicide instead of focusing on living. And that's from I'm the Best. I think that might be a false equivalency, Case.
Well, it was definitely an extreme way of putting it. But the point he's trying to make, I don't, if he was a little overdramatic, oh well, I'll let that slide. But I mean, the point he's trying to make is that, you know, he's got, you know, the right to speak his mind, and that's important. And whether or not I agree with him, and I'm not saying whether or not I do, because I don't even know that he actually said anything.
It doesn't matter.
Like I don't have a problem with players, you know, speaking out. You know, everybody is allowed to do that kind of thing, and if they do and they face certain repercussions, that is also like, that's all normal. That's all like good. I don't have problems with that. I it's all legal. I will. And actually, but what you said about, you know, you and me not purporting to be smart enough to tell you all what to think, that's my feeling on athletes and actors in general. that's not where I go to get my political opinions. Personally, it, and I recognize that, you know, they're public figures, so.
And there's a diversity, you know, of opinion amongst say, them, but, Case. I don't want people to think that you're like anti-whatever group, right? There's a diversity of opinions amongst all those people. And
no, absolutely. Absolutely. You've got your, Frasers and, Hercules. You've got those guys out on the right wing. I can't think the actor's names off the top of my head. But, I'm not going to listen to them. I'm not going to listen to, you know, the point being is like,
that's not where you're going.
I will go to people who, you know, who actually like, know things.
Wow. That's weird.
For my political commentary.
You're so weird. Yeah, you know, for me, the thing is, people listen to us because of our Lions talk. And people listen to Amir to hear him talk about the Lions. People listen to actors to hear them talk about acting. And when you take that platform that you've kind of worked to get and you co-opt it for something else, there's consequences that come with that, right? People expect one thing. And when you shift the gears on them, you're going to frustrate people. That's why I think like the whole idea of just focusing on sports is probably a good idea when your main gig is sports. Don't add a whole bunch of controversy, just especially in something as team focused and where you need to limit your distractions is football or other team sports. When you're done, that's great. Go ahead and use that. If you want to, go ahead and use it as well. But understand that there are consequences to any kind of opinion that you put out there on those types of topics. And you just have to understand that, okay, I said something and I know I'm going to alienate people. Colin Kaepernick is an example. He's making a stand, and it wouldn't be a stand if he wasn't doing something controversial. So you have to live and understand the controversy. Don't get caught up in, you know, any of the other stuff. So it's just part of the deal if you're going to do that. We choose not to because we think it's that whole notion of dividing people or trying to tell people what to think is both arrogant and stupid. So we'll move on. Not that Amir is, right?
We're walking some very fine lines today.
We may be crossing a few along the way, but we'll see what we can do.
No, all I'm saying is if he wants to speak up about stuff, that's his God-given right, or whatever given right.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell you.
His country given.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's American. You know, it can do American things, and that's fine. If other Americans react to that, that's also their right as Americans. So.
And for all you folks in the UK, this, none of this applies to you, so don't worry about it.
Right. You don't have any
rights. You don't
rights.
Get any rights. We throw those out in 1776.
Sorry, Mike.
All right. Now, along those same lines, right? Frankly, we had a great conversation earlier. Case said he'd pretty much do anything for $1 million. and then he limited it.
I won't
it.
Go into the details on what I said I wouldn't do for $1 million. But,
but if you guys have $1 million to spend, I can connect you. So anyway, one of our Patreon donors hit us up on Twitter and said, I really, really want you guys to do a dramatic read of my review. And again, we'll do anything for money, right? So we decided we'll revitalize the dramatic review. We've seen that, you know, those reviews, those 5-star reviews have slowed down a little bit over on iTunes. So we're going to throw one at you. We threatened we'd do it. And again, this guy's going to throw some money that way. So we'll do this. This one's entitled Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid by The Real Dan Page. If you bleed Honolulu blue, then I can guarantee you two things. You either need to see a doctor or you need this podcast. Subscribe now. Do it. What are you waiting for? Just do it! And that's today's dramatic read. We'll read yours too for money.
We're gonna, yeah, but only if you pay us, because we don't want to do them.
All right, let's move on to another highly pressing issue. Besides what would get pressed for $1 million per case, we had a good one from GB Chris 12, Stafford to Jones for a touchdown, perfect throw catch. And let's start off with just that play. That was amazing. That was a beautiful, beautiful play.
Yeah. And I mean, that doesn't surprise me, because there's going to be some of that between Stafford and Jones. Just because we didn't get to see as much of it in the second half of last season doesn't mean that's not going to happen. He's going to beat people deep sometimes. Hopefully with, you know, other additions and other, you know, the ability to hopefully run the ball a little bit with Abdullah and things like that. He's able to get away from coverage a little bit better this year. And so we can see it more consistently. But I mean, everybody came so far down so fast on Marvin Jones. And I think, you know, it was both things were an overreaction. The overreaction when he started the year, unbelievably, you know, fast out the gate, leading the league in yards. That was, we all overreacted to that. And then things came back to down to earth, and then, you know, things struggled. And a lot of people wrote him off, and a lot of people are, you know, I've seen people, you know, say we should just cut him, or, you know, after this season or whatever. And that's an overreaction too. He's going to produce for us.
Yeah. What happens if he has his career season this year? Are you still sticking by that cut him after the season take? You know, I don't want to say uninformed take, but that's just a bad take, right? That is absolutely reactionary and emotional, and makes no sense, because you don't have the data to make that decision, do you?
Yeah, we need to. I mean, and I'm not saying he might not fall off completely. It's possible. But after, you know, when you see a catch like that in the preseason, it's obviously like that he's still got skills. So you're going to see some things like that, both in the preseason and the regular season from him. He's a talented football player. He's maybe not, you know, a top five wide receiver, but he's a talented football player.
Nah, I don't think so. He only plays in the NFL. He can't be that good. You know, I'm seeing in the preseason a little bit of that early flash. And I don't want to say it's as big as it was at the start of last season when he came out of the gate on fire. But there seems to be a little bit of a connection between Staff and Jones here. And it's looking good. And I like that, because after the end of last season, when we saw that kind of connection they had break, they weren't quite connecting the way they were. I just think that getting back on the bike and riding again is good, and it's good for that relationship. It feels again, though, a little bit. Remember early last season, it was the Marvin Jones show, and it really overshadowed Golden Tate.
Yeah.
And it feels a little bit like that. And again, not as extreme as it was at the beginning of last year, but are we going to be on this? We're firing on one or the other all the time, or neither, or can we get games where they're both just balling out, right? That's the idea, is to have both of these guys hitting on all cylinders at the same time. That, I think, if we could see that, and then you have your Kenny Golladay coming in and looking like he could maybe be pretty decent here as a rookie, and TJ Jones hopefully coming off that hamstring quickly, you know, coming in and doing his thing. If those two guys are hitting hard, it opens the whole offense up, right? Ebron, the run game, the whole deal. You just need both of those guys at the same time.
Yeah. And now here's the other side of that, though, is, you know, it's nice to have that insurance that when one of them is struggling, you can turn to the other one. That's a good, you know, that's a good thing to have. It's like, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson in years past in Golden State. You know, if a guy was one of them having an off night, they could, you know, let the other one, you know, take the wheel. And that's a good thing to have. Of course, if they're both firing off at the same time, then you're really, you know, then we're really in business here. And hopefully that's the way things start off the year, because, you know, I think a lot of what happened to Tate last year early on was mental. And I think some of that was, you know, he was expecting to be the guy in Detroit once Calvin was gone, and Marvin came in and stole a little bit of that thunder. And I think that affected him, but he got over it clearly. And I don't think he'll go through that same mental, you know, dip to begin this year, having, you know, worked with Marvin for a year. I think that the everyone's relationship in Detroit is pretty sound at the moment, I think. Obviously, I could get proven wrong, but I don't think we'll go through that same ebb with Tate to start the year. And, you know, hopefully if Tate's, you know, working really well early on the year, then Jones can, you know, feed off of that, and then they can sustain it all year long. I mean, that's a perfect world, you know, kind of situation, but I mean, that's easily what could happen this year.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about Stafford out of that, because the other side of this is, again, it's preseason and you can't take too much away, but Stafford has shown there's some things different about Stafford. He's leaner, right? He's leaner than he's been, I think, ever out there. He's also throwing a lot of balls with more touch than we're used to. And I'm used to those big old bullets. Just
except for the one where he rocketed it into Marvin and it bounced up and got picked.
Game one, right.
which needed more touch, unfortunately.
Well, game one was weird for Stafford because he seemed to fire the bullets when he needed touch and throw touch passes when he needed the bullets.
Game two, too. I mean, we saw the touch pass to Tate that really should have been a bullet, because Tate probably could have, you know, really taken it and made something else happen with it. I'm not concerned. As long as the accuracy is there, and the accuracy has been, that Marvin Jones pass wasn't perfect, but it was close to perfect. In terms of accuracy, it was there. It just needed to come at him a little slower. But in terms of the accuracy, that's there. And that's what that's the concern, you know, coming off the finger injury, that it could affect something, you know, and I don't think that is what's going on. He's just getting his mental cobwebs cleared out. And I think we've seen that from him before in the preseason. So
can we deduct another $5 million from his contract as a result of week two of the preseason?
Please do that.
All right. We're up to a deduction of $10 million on demerits there, Stafford. So,
yeah,
I hope you're okay with that. All right, we'll move on. Zach Orr retiring again. This one was from Position Relative. And I guess the Zach Orr watch is over. It kind of has been for a little bit, but what was it, 17 teams that passed on him?
Mm-hmm. And there was some miscommunication that we should clear up, because, you know, we had reported on it too when we'd seen it. That it sounded as if the Lions doctors had cleared him. Probably not, actually. His agent came out and said after his visit with the Lions that, you know, everything, they said everything was looked good or something along those lines, but it was misleading, and it wasn't, you know, an official release from the team or anything along those lines. So it's probable that if 17 other teams, you know, dismissed him or didn't clear him, that the Lions also probably didn't clear him, which is probably why he didn't sign here.
Well, and it also goes to the issue that we talked about. Even if he did come clear enough, I guess, or clean enough that they said he could play, who wants to have that risk on the field? We signed him, we took a shot, and you know the Sports Illustrated, ESPN magazine, the story, or the magazine story is going to come out afterwards. Known issue, man dies, or, you know, severely, you know, who wants to risk that kind of publicity and the scar that's going to put on the game and the long-term effects? That there's more than just, and look, maybe that seems cold to not talk about the risk to the man, but the man is making a choice to come back knowing what his risks are. Yeah. The organization has to think about, you know, what's the effect on us if something happens here. And I'm certain that played into the decision-making along the Zach Orr line.
Yeah, I would not argue with that at all. Obviously, we don't know what gets said behind closed doors, but it wouldn't surprise me if that was if the doctor said, yeah, he's okay, and then the front office was like, well, we're still not sure, or, you know, something along those lines. And anything like that is certainly a plausible scenario in this instance.
Yeah, for sure.
Did kind of pivot, because we're talking about, you know, the medical staff. There was a article that came out, you know, 15% of the Lions roster didn't practice Thursday. People freaked out a little bit. It came right off the firing of some strength and conditioning and medical personnel in New Orleans who were actually proven to be, negligent and not good at their jobs. Of course, you know, with 15% of the roster sitting out, you know, people immediately are jumping on. And this, you know, this happens every time any team, you know, has an above average number of injuries, fans do this. So, like, I would just tell you straight up, like, don't jump to that conclusion. If we see over multiple seasons that the Lions are always like the most injured team, and I know it's easy to think that sometimes, but you know, from a statistical standpoint, we're not. And you know, added on to the Levy thing, which is a legit concern. You know, once again, we've only heard things from, you know, his perspective, and we'll never hear it from the team's perspective. But there may have been some negligence in that particular instance with him. But don't freak out and automatically assume that this means we have a bad strength and conditioning program, that our medical staff is bad. I tried to do as much research as I could on the guys who are doing that, and there's nothing I can, you know, there's nothing we can determine because we have no real evidence of anything. First of all, I mean, the majority of these injuries were, you know, precautionary things that people were just being held out for. Most of them are minor things. Obviously, we had the two big losses in Hyder and Decker, but at a certain point, you know, freak injuries happen, man. There's no amount of there. You could, the best, you know, strength and conditioning, the best medical team in the league, and you'd still have injuries, and sometimes. You get a few more freak things than other years, and I'm not even out here to say we have good staff in those areas, because I don't know, but neither does anyone else. Anyone who doesn't get behind, you know, the closed doors there. So I just would caution people about, you know, freaking out about that kind of thing, because you don't know. We don't know.
Now, for $1 million, you would be a bad medical staff member, though, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. $1 million, I'd probably Nancy Kerrigan some dude on the team. I mean, no, I'm joking. I would not do that. I'm joking. I would not do that.
You'd let them Nancy Kerrigan you, though.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, I would. Yes, yeah. I would. see, this is.
So, again, anyone with the extra money to spend, I can set you up here. This is a small fee. I can set this relationship up, and, someone gets to break a knee, and I get to laugh, and Case gets his $1 million. It's good for everybody.
I'll go as far as to tell you, well, this is part of our conversation earlier. I would take most forms of physical harm, you know, for varying degrees of money. there are a lot of like ethical things that I probably wouldn't do. You know, I wouldn't, you know, rig a voting system or things like that. I wouldn't do that for money. Like, there's no amount of money that would get me to, you know,
And you pretty much said it was outside the body stuff that you were good with, right?
right. And there is probably quite a few sexual things I wouldn't do for money, but
don't let him fool you. He's sitting there with no pants on, folks. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of sexual things out there, so I'm not trying to narrow it down too much, but.
You've got a broad horizon. All right. Well, anyway, there's no segue.
Don't freak out about headlines like that or you know, injuries like that, and assume there's something deeper going on, because you're just entering into conspiracy theorist land, and that's. It's all well and fine, but it's not going to get you anywhere either.
Tinfoil sales are up, right? So, you know, that's all those sexual things. There was really no segue into Greg Robinson. So I'm glad you talked about injury, because we can use that as with Taylor Decker out now. We got a post from Thabe331. It's early, but Greg Robinson could solve Detroit Lions' problem at LT. And he has not looked bad in these first two games, has he? You know, we were talking about him before things started, and I was holding out a lot of hope. You know, I had my dreams, and all, even when we were talking to Dan Miller, I was like, but he could, right? He has the tools. Everyone's like, yeah. I would have to say at this point, he hasn't lived up to what I hoped for, but he is certainly not as bad as everyone thought he was going to be.
Yeah. No, there we're definitely at a middle ground here where we should be at least some degree of thankful that it's not, you know, a complete train wreck. He's not letting Stafford get hit on every down and that kind of thing. He's not good.
And he's been lined up with some pretty crappy guards on his right side as well.
Right,
let's give him some leeway here.
It's also true that he has not had much good help over there. Once again, as I said, I think last week, he just has to hold up, and hopefully that they can, between him and creative usage of Fells and or Roberts out there to help him, we can hold on till Decker comes back. That's the idea.
What do you think about this? Do you think he could take that left guard position when Decker gets back?
Possible. I don't know. You know, he's struggled technique wise, you know, his whole career. So I don't know if he's the kind of player you can just plug in at a different position.
Sure.
But maybe.
I think that's just an interesting and maybe creative opportunity. Well, I mean, you have to see how he could do and how he could perform there. But that I think that would be something to look out for. If he's improving and playing above where people thought he was going to be and above his talent level that he's exhibited so far, maybe he's showing the work. Maybe he's showing the effort that he didn't show before. And maybe it's the opportunity for him, because he knows his time is pretty limited. Once Taylor Decker gets back, right, he's at the end of the plank at that point. This is it for him. This may be the symbiotic opportunity that he needs to get better and stay in the league. He could really make something out of his career if he handles this right.
This could be he knows this could be his last year in the league. And so, like, because if he is as bad as he has been, nobody's going to be paying money for him after this year. I shouldn't say that. He'll probably get like a vetman, you know, salary somewhere to be, you know, third on a depth chart. But I mean, he knows this is his last chance at any real meaningful, you know, time in the NFL. And I do get the impression from hearing him talk, from, you know, everything that, you know, he came in with the story of that he just hadn't put in the time to, you know, that they were not impressed with his, you know, level of effort in with the Rams, that he was really working now and that he sort of got it, that it was his last chance. That's a kind of thing that, you know, it's better to hear, you know, you have a guy who never had issues like that, but with guys who never had issues like that, you don't get them for, you know, a sixth round pick.
Right.
So.
Right. And let's also be honest that if you're playing for the Rams, it's pretty easy not to put in that extra effort when you look at how that team, where that team is going and how it's performing. So if you're not a motivated guy on your own and you've been relied on just your ability forever, it's easy to fall into that trap. And I kind of in that position, well, maybe this is a wake up call for a guy. Maybe this guy could live up to some of his original hype. I'd love to see that. I'd love, you know, something that came across the Twitter machine today, and this was a big deal. It's from Goldmember 2 on Twitter. It's also Malcolm, a good Patreon friend. He tweeted at Jeff Schwartz and said, man, we could use you on the Detroit Lions podcast to break down the offensive line and talk about it. There's a lot of stories here. And this Greg Robinson one is one that I would love to hear Jeff's take on. It would be great. So there's an opportunity for you guys, you listeners who have Twitter, and if you don't, you can sign up. Go at Jeff Schwartz and let him know to come on the show and break this down, because there's a lot to talk about. And his insight, he's a smart guy, and he's not afraid to share his thinking. You see it on Twitter all the time. He's a great follow if you want to kind of pick up on some of the things going on. But let's do a little brigade here. See what you guys can do, if you can bug him and get him to come on the show. I would love to get his inside kind of thinking on, you know, from a guy who plays these positions, on what would work here and the state of the line and what to look for.
Yeah, that would be absolutely awesome to have him on the show. You know, if you all remember, he played briefly for the Lions as a backup before retiring, entering into all of this kind of offensive line education process for fans, which is really a great thing for like an underappreciated position group. Absolutely. If you guys are able to get at him and get him to come talk to us, maybe both about the offensive line stuff and about his stint with the Lions, that would be phenomenal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. With that, it's time to take a little trip. And your ticket is right here. We're going to join Case and head
around the division.
Love that bass. Isn't that sweet? Yeah. I mean, just... It just flows through you. In the drop.
Feel it deep in my bowels.
Oh, well.
Which is one of those things I will not do for $1 million.
the bids are going down. Ooh, not a big uptake now. Sorry.
I've ruined it all. I've ruined it all. Okay, starting at the bottom.
With a team that will do it for $1 million.
We've got the Bears and Mitch Trubisky is, you know, once again, the storyline. He put up a pretty good stat line in week two, 6 for 8, one touchdown. It was like 68 yards. I don't have it right in front of me. But here's what I will say. When I watched all of his snaps for the Bears this week, nowhere near as sharp. His ball placement was kind of all over the place. He had one that definitely should have been picked off and got dropped. Just not nearly as comfortable as he looked in week one. And I think it was probably a result of them, you know, throwing a little bit more at him in terms of, you know, instead of designed rollout, you know, one option read plays, they were actually making him, you know, try things. And that's as they do that, I think it's going to increase his, you know, he's going to look more and more like a rookie, the more complicated they make things, because you can get away with, you know, short term, with a simplified playbook. But once you get into the regular season, unless you have the physical, you know, gifts of a guy like RG3 as a rookie, or, you know, Colin Kaepernick, when he first hit the scene, you need to be able to do the rest of the stuff. And I don't think that he's there yet. Mike Glennon still doesn't look good.
No, but, he doesn't.
But I will tell you right here and now, I still absolutely will be floored if they start Trubisky week one, because I think in week three, you're likely to see more difficulty for him, especially if he doesn't, that was the thing that I was actually surprised about, was that his accuracy was so off. Because in week one, he'd hit pretty much every throw until right near the end. He hit everybody right exactly where he needed to hit him. And this last week, it was not that at all. They had some receptions where he made his receivers work way too hard for it. And then he had a couple of misses that were not good misses. So I'm still saying, and maybe I'll be proven wrong. Maybe if he does have a great week three and Glennon can't improve, maybe I'm wrong. And maybe there is a real, like, actual week one controversy there. I'll be surprised. I think, you know, Glennon is actually a better quarterback than he's looked the last 2 weeks. And sometimes, you know, when you change teams, when you get, you know, something different, it takes a minute. So, and he's, you know, only been in the league like 4 years. So, I mean, he's a relatively young guy, and things take time to adjust from team to team, but he'll likely see some improvement over the next 2 weeks and be the, you know, no brainer week one starter, and only lose his job in the regular season if everything looks terrible, would be my guess.
Yeah, well, everything is looking terrible. $1 million headed their way. All right, that was good. I love to hear about the pain and suffering going on in Chicago for so many years, and this is, you know, the 2008 season. I have a special place of hate for Chicago fans, and I have a lot of friends that are Chicago fans, but I had a couple guys, you know, the 2008 season, 2009, that were just chiding me at work because they were meathead Bears fans, and the whole stupid bear down. I always thought of someone trying to take a dump every time I heard that. But
as you say, whenever there's a bear that gets injured, that's immediately what I say. Bear down.
So it's just, I just take a little bit of, you know, a little bit of Schadenfreude and those couple of guys who ruined the whole Meathead fan base for me. So the suffering can continue, and I can just smile and twiddle my fingers together in a kind of Dr. Evil sort of way.
Yeah, for sure. They were so condescending forever while we were, you know, near the bottom of the division, and you know, it's still, you know, the being called little brothers, you know, it's really obnoxious. So I did have the shoe on the other foot for a while here. Doesn't bother me in the least. We were talking about, you know, pain and suffering, and it seems like it, you know, the other quarterback, you know, controversy in the division, that Teddy is rapidly approaching being able to play, which surprises me. I was not expecting him to be rosterable this year for them. But it sounds though, you know, they might end up putting him on the roster, whether or not, you know, Bradford's going to start. That's no doubt. Probably you'd more likely be looking at maybe like a 8-week pup thing, or some kind of, you know, IR with designation to return or something along those lines with him. But, it's possible that were Bradford to get hurt, which isn't like that's never happened before, we could actually see Teddy play again this year. Not likely, probably. Yeah,
I just don't
possible.
See it happening. I mean, the risk. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Right.
He was cleared to practice, officially cleared to practice, which is, you know, not the same thing as being ready to go. But.
And don't they get to keep a contract year if he doesn't play this year?
I believe so.
Is the word. And that's why I'm pretty certain they're not going to, because then they don't have to worry about that option for an extra year.
Yeah.
And that, to me, within the injury he had, that's a smart move. If you believe he's still going to play and he's still going to be effective, you don't want to do anything at all to bring him back early and ruin that value that you think you have. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, hey, look, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, go for it, Minnesota. But as a human being, I'd hate to see that poor guy just lose it all.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Moving up to the unfortunate leaders.
Do you think they're the
Packers
still?
Yeah, but unfortunately, until otherwise proven. Yeah, I do. I wish I didn't. I really do.
I'm going to keep saying that so until much, the day comes when we can say, fuck no, they're not.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That will be a good day. You know, unfortunately, once again, I don't have any news on the Packers. There's like the only injuries are, you know, insignificant players, which I'm not saying I want there to be more injuries for them, but I do wish that things would even the fuck out. Like I said last week, I wish that everybody else had to deal with the same shit we do.
The regression to the mean, right? These guys have had what, 20 years of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Where's the part where they get the crappy quarterbacks for, I mean, are they going to have 25 years of pure crap next? When does this happen? When does this team just fall out of the sky and hit the ground and pancake and, God,
well,
it's frustrating.
I'll take some solace in the fact that amongst the teams that are, you know, presumed to win their division and make the playoffs every year, they haven't done crap with it for quite a while now. So at least there's that. What I did see was there was a thread on RNFL, and it was a, you know, one of the what is your unpopular opinion type threads, which of which there are like 12 every day. it for whatever reason, this particular thread had gotten traction. And the, you know, unpopular opinion, which apparently is not an unpopular opinion, was that Rodgers is a whiny butthole. So everybody on RNFL agreed that he is in fact a whiny butthole. So
there's a sound effect for and I'm not gonna go find it, but I'm just telling you, whiny butthole. There's a sound effect. I'll let you create it in your own mind. All right. Well, that's another good trip around the division case. Thank you for taking us to the land of the whiny buttholes and doing it like you always do.
Are you ready to get schooled? It's time for Risden's Wisdom with the Riz, Jeff Risden.
All right, look who's on the line. It is Smooth and Easy himself, the Riz, Jeff Risden, senior NFL and draft writer for DraftBreakdown.com and RealGM.com. He's also wasting away his life, boring, boring, boring stuff, as the managing editor for the USA Today Wire sites, the Browns Wire, the Texans Wire, and, you know, whatever pickup work he has going on. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, man? Great to have you back.
It's nice to put on my Lions hat for a little while today. It's good to be with you guys.
And we absolutely love to have you as well. We'll start off here, do a little review on what we saw on the field against the Jets this last weekend. General thoughts. Do you have anything that specifically stood out to you at all?
You know, the overriding thought that I took away from that game, and I'm sorry to say it, is the Jets are terrible. Oh, my God.
I expected more, though, against the Jets, Riz.
That is the worst team I've ever seen. And I watched those 2008 Lions that didn't win a game. These Jets are worse than that team. There's very little doubt in my mind of that. Dan Orlovsky would easily be the starting quarterback for them, even now, the Dan Orlovsky we have. Now, I know Josh McCown didn't play, but my God, that's terrible. So that is the prism with which you have to evaluate the Lions. They're playing a team that could very well be the worst team in NFL history.
It continues to make it difficult for me to, like, really get a handle, especially on the defensive line. Are they playing really well, or are they just, like, taking advantage of really... Well,
look at the very first play where Cornelius Washington, who's never done that in his life before, comes completely unblocked.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like it was a scheme thing.
On the bright side. On the bright side. They probably would have had a sack on that play from Zettel coming the other way, and he was blocked. Now, again, by a Jet. Well,
you're right.
But
you're absolutely right, Dave.
But see, that's where I'm struggling here. I just don't know. I don't know what to take away for sure. You really want to be able to, and I don't know that it's going to get any easier, because when you play a team like the Patriots, who do strange things in the preseason, it can be tough to get a read there too. You know, I think they've gone 0-4 in the preseason several times during their, you know, dynasty here, and so you never really know what you're getting out of them either. It's going to be a tough year to kind of, I think, get a sense of exactly where we are until we actually hit the field on week one.
Yeah, the thing that you want to take away is that when you're a good team, you should have no trouble handling bad teams. And the Lions starters, after that first offensive series, really had very little trouble with the Jets.
Yeah,
and the Jets' defense is not bad.
No.
They're young, and they have a decent defensive line. But you know, after the first drive jitters were out of the way, I thought Stafford looked great. I thought the wide receiving core looked really good, and you know, all around, I thought Marvin Jones played well. It was nice to see Golden Tate get involved. I thought Michael Roberts made a couple of really nice plays.
Definitely improved on the week before. Yep.
Yeah, he is absolutely, and I'll give my guy Mork from Twitter credit on this, because he called it right as soon as I started falling in love with Michael Roberts last year at Toledo. He is Brandon Pettigrew 2.0, and that's exactly what this offense is. They missed him.
Yeah,
we talked about that.
Yeah, they did. And it's, you know, it doesn't excite people to talk about that. But if Brandon Pettigrew had been our number two tight end for all those years,
exactly,
it probably would have been a pretty healthy situation. So
I think the thinking on Ebron would be a lot different today too.
Yeah,
absolutely. There's the ripple effects, man.
Yeah,
that we deal with.
Well, it's making me touch my ripples. I want to talk about that. We did look good out there, but again, we only outscored the Jets of all teams by 10 points. And is that something we should worry about? Or is this, you know, it's the other part of it is I know nothing to worry about in this time of year, right? Because you're trying all kinds of different things and doing some situational stuff, almost drills at times while you're playing the games. But what can we take away from that? Is there any cause for concern based on we didn't absolutely destroy these guys.
Yeah, it was 13-0 at halftime when the starters had played the predominant of that half. And, you know, I do think that the run game is still a concern.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, I thought Greg Robinson played very well again.
Two games in a row, yeah.
That's kind of surprising for me, but it's a happy surprise. It's, you know, I'll take it. I thought he looked good. The one takeaway for me that was really bad was Joe Dahl.
Yes.
I don't see how he makes the team. He's terrible. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Which is too bad. I really liked the thought of Joe Dahl last year.
Exactly. But, we all did.
Glasgow is still bad, too, which is worrisome.
Glasgow has got to learn to keep his butt down and his weight down. He plays way too top-heavy. And, you know, the Jets, they do have some talent on their defensive line. They even have depth on their defensive line, something the Lions don't really have. Yep. And
I think, you know, that's why I think that the scoring stopped in the second half was our reserve offensive line is pretty much garbage.
Oh, they're terrible.
they're really weren't doing Kaya or Rudock any favors. I don't think either of them looked great this week after both of them had a pretty good performance in the week one game. But if they get, you know, brutalized like that and then things like I said the same thing last week. I think Asiata, I would still take Asiata over Washington because from what I saw in most of his rushing attempts, again, he didn't have anywhere to go. So
no, he did not. And you know, even with the first team, the running game just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is they're a stagnant handoff team. What I mean by that is Matthew Stafford runs to the running back who's not moving when he gets the ball. That happens way too often in the Lions offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a legacy from the Joe Lombardi era that has to go away. And I hope that Jim Bob Cooter realizes that. Now, maybe they're just, you know, trying not to tip their hand to what's going to go on in the regular season. And I do think they're protecting Amir Abdullah a little bit because I think they realize that he is very important. And they're, you know, he had what? Five carries,
mm-hmm.
Four carries, 16 yards. He looked good on that one where he bounced it outside. Beyond that, you know,
he didn't look good when he got ran over by the Jets defender. But
no, he did not.
That one you're talking about, though, Riz. I mean, that looked like there was a problem on the handoff that he was a little too far away from Stafford, or Stafford was too far away from him on the turn where he was giving him the ball, and he was able to bounce that outside on the left side. And make a move to get free, which was, that was great. But I was pretty worried. I don't want to say worried because it is the preseason, right? If that happened in the regular season, I'd be stomping up and down and kicking my hat and whatever else. But still working out some kinks. Still obviously have some things that they have to work on. So you don't want to take too much away. And, you know, of all the flavors out there right now, they're all running vanilla, right? So I guess we can't get too...
I want to just clarify something so people don't misunderstand me. The reason I think that Asiata should make the team over Washington is that he would bring a blocking element that I don't think any of our other backs have. I think we have rushers who are decent at their jobs. Abdullah and Zenner and Riddick is, you know, Riddick. What we don't have is a blocker, and I think that's what Asiata would do for us. Just want to clarify so people are
pretty nicely too. I agree with you, Case. I hate to say that, but I agree with you on this.
Do you want to talk about Cleveland so we can get some disagreement here, or should we just keep moving?
Oh, it's a bad day for Cleveland.
Big ol' Isaiah Thomas coming to town.
Oh, jeez. I'm really excited about the Nets pick in 2018 that they got from Boston.
Sure.
God, Kyrie going away is it's a sad day in the Risen household, let me tell you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Thoughts and prayers are with the family. So, as we talk about anything, you know, coming out of Allen Park that you've heard as far as the team, the thinking, any big news coming out of there?
I asked one of the Lions beat writers the other day about this was the day after the game, so whenever that was. I'm lost in space, man. So
it's okay. It's a crazy busy time.
I know it's Tuesday today. Yesterday was Tuesday. Thursday, you can see. About Sam Martin, because it's starting to get a little bit concerning. Now, Casey Redfern, that guy's an NFL punter.
Looking good out there.
They found it, but he's not Sam Martin.
Mm-mm.
And I asked about Sam, and they said he's not at team facilities. He's not, you know, he gets his treatment and he leaves. He's not talking to anybody. That's not like Sam Martin. So I'm a little bit concerned about what's going on with him. We also haven't seen Ziggy yet.
They said he was running today. They said he was running on the side, which, I mean,
jogging,
God, that is the good news, is also not good news, but he was running.
They have to have Ziggy Ansah at full speed, or else this pass rush will not work this year.
Yeah.
I have been impressed. I think the defensive interior guys, I think Nada has been great, and I like what I've seen from some of the other guys, too, but you've got to have that primo edge pass rusher. That's Ansah. If it's not him, that guy isn't on the roster. As much as we like Jeremiah Valawaga from the week before, he was kind of invisible this week. And, you know, Anthony Zettel is what he is. He's a good quality number four defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Cornelius Washington, he got that sack. But again, come on. It's freaking Jets.
For sure. All right. So what do we got now? We got the Patriots. And again, we talk about this is preseason, and I will, you know, the Patriots have gone, as we said, 0-4 during their Super Bowl runs here. The preseason record doesn't mean a whole lot. We beat the Patriots in 2008 when we were the preseason champions.
We beat them good.
Yeah, we spanked them. And it was absolutely meaningless. So again, we don't want to read too much, but it is, and it was that year too. Game 3 of the preseason. This is where you see the most out of your team before the regular season. So what do we really have to look forward to here, Riz?
Yeah, well, I fortunately cover the Texans. They just played the Patriots, and the Patriots played offense. Their entire starters played the first four series of the Houston game, which is their second game. So I expect them to play. You'll see Tom Brady at least the entire first half. And their offense looked pretty good. They have running problems of their own. And a lot of it is the fact that they're just mixing and matching their interior offensive line. They've had some attrition there, but man, they just win and win and win with what they can throw at you. Now, Houston's defense is very different from Detroit's, and I'm curious as to how it will adjust, because they had a whole lot of trouble with the Texans attacking the inside shoulders of the tackles while having somebody outside that as well. So like in Detroit's defense, that would be Nada and whoever is playing next to him attacking to their outside rather than trying to go up the middle. You can get some creative blitzes off of that. And the Texans have done that well. And that's actually something that Rex Ryan and his Jets and Bills did very effectively against the Patriots as well. I wonder if we're going to see, you know, the long rumored, you know, three man fronts from Terrell Austin. We might see a little bit of that in this game just to see if it works and spice it up. We're probably going to see some A-gap blitzes. You might see a lot of line stunts, you know, and loops and things like that. I think we will see that from the Lions defensive front. There's the argument that you don't want to show all of what you can do, but at the same time, you also have to show that you can, in fact, do it. And I think that's that's the higher imperative for Detroit right now, is that they can figure out that these guys can actually execute these things rather than, you know, trying to keep it concealed. So I do think that the defense, they did not play Hightower or their other linebacker. I can't think of his name. But their starting edges were gone. They did play Coney Ealy some. He was a liability in the run game. But they snuffed out, by and large, the Houston run game very effectively. But where the Texans made hay was throwing the ball to their running backs and their tight ends. And guess what? The Lions have been doing a lot of. So this is a chance. This is a game if Eric Ebron can play. And it sounds like he's going to try. He could have a big game.
Good news.
Yeah, I would love.
This is an offense that a defense that Theo Riddick is perfectly designed to attack. So I expect if you're a fantasy preseason player, first of all, get your head out of your ass, get a life. But secondly, it'll be really well for
you. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, no, for sure. I think it would be a good game for Ebron to come back for. This is one of those ones where he could make a big splash, build that confidence early, and kind of have the right direction heading into the season with another week of likely rest ahead of him in week 4 of the preseason. So Good, good stuff. Riz, I know you got a lot going on, man. We appreciate you making time for us again. Hope you enjoyed your vacation last week. Got some time with the family. Well deserved. But you know, man, the grind is now. Well, we got to go till February.
That's right, man. I'm ready for it.
All right. Thanks, Riz. We will talk to you again soon.
All right, that's going to do it for this week. Remember, this show needs your involvement. Make sure to use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. Of course, DetroitLions.reddit.com. Let us know what you like, what you don't, how we can get better, and we'll rock it out with you. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast, or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Anything you can spare to help us out is most appreciated. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and of course on the Twitter machine. That's @DETLionsPodcast, @DETLionsPodcast. It's the best place to see Case
with no pants on.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget about that shop link at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Use that bad boy if you're going to Amazon. If you want to get any of your gear, your official merchandise, or you want to get tickets to any kind of event. Again, DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the shop link on the main menu. Leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or you can give us a call on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. That's 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show. Lastly, be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and subscribe to the podcast. We'll get to come inside your little box automatically. Who wouldn't want that? Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Woo! Let's go, baby.
Lions on three. One, two, three.
Lions!